2 Chronicles chapter 34. I want to read just a few portions from 2 Chronicles 34 and 35 as an outline or a picture postcard snapshot, as it were, of the life of Josiah. Chapter 34 and verse 1, and we'll read the first four verses and then we'll take portions out of the chapter. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father, of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the idols, and the carved images, and the melted and cast images. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on the high above them. He cut down, and the idols, and the carved images, and the cast images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it upon the graves of them who had sacrificed unto them. Verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azalel, and Manasseh, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, with which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen, who wrought in the house of the Lord, to repair and mend the house. Now verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back, saying, all that was committed to thy servants they are doing. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and Akam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Aziah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do all that is written in his book. Now chapter 35, and beginning at verse 1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges, and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites who taught all Israel, who were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the house of your fathers, after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son, and standing in the holy places according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And finally, verse 25. And Jeremiah the prophet lamented for Josiah, And all the singing men and singing women spoke of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And, behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. May God add his own blessing at the reading of his precious word. I have read some brief excerpts from the life of Josiah, who was Judah's last good king, and who under God was his instrument for revival in Judah. Prior to this, and shortly after this, the kingdom went into captivity when the Babylonians came up and took them into captive. But God had raised up King Josiah, and in his hand he led the people back to God in a mighty revival. Now, of course, this revival, though it was meaningful at the time, did not endure. And Josiah's successor turned back to evil ways. But in considering these portions of Scripture, there are, I believe, meaningful lessons for us that we may discover the priorities which Josiah had and the way he attracted the people back to the Word of God. I think it is very necessary when we deal with these chapters at all, at least to have a little bit of a history lesson. Dear Mr. Clayton down in Melbourne always tells me that we must get our history right if we are going to understand anything about the Old Testament. And of course, it is quite right that we should understand something about the background to appreciate the times in which the kings and the prophets lived. Because without some knowledge of that background, we have no comprehension of what they faced or what they desired or what they did for God. Now, if you cast your mind back, the kingdom was divided through Jeroboam and Rehoboam after the death of Solomon. And these two kingdoms continued as the divided kingdoms for some 253 years, until about the sixth year of good King Hezekiah's reign. And then the Assyrians came down and took captive Israel, took them prisoner, a captivity from which they never returned. Now, out of Israel's kings, there was 19 in all, and it is recorded of each and every one of them that they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Of the southern kingdom, it remained for some 136 years after the northern kingdom went into captivity, and then it too succumbed when the Babylonians came up and took them prisoner. And in that period, they had 8 kings. Only 2 of them were good: Hezekiah and Josiah. And Hezekiah and Josiah were the instruments of God in a meaningful revival in the period to try and bring the people back to the things of God. Now, when I was taught something of prophecy, I was told that it was very necessary to get your days right. The day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the day of grace, and so fix it all up. But I would suggest to you, when you read the Old Testament prophets and the 1st and 2nd Chronicles and the 1st and 2nd Kings, one must get one's kingdoms right. And firstly, you have the United Kingdom, that kingdom that was set up firstly under Saul, then David, then Solomon. Then you have the divided kingdom, of which we've spoken of just this moment, when 10 tribes, went into the north and formed Israel, and 2 came into the south and formed Judah. And these kingdoms, 19 kings in the north, and 19 kings and 1 queen in the south. Of these southern kings, we can say that 5 were good, 3 were unstable, and 12 were bad. But of that southern kingdom, there was only one dynasty, from David, right through all the way. Whereas in the northern kingdom, there were something like 9 dynasties as they got away from God. And now we come, firstly, to the first king in the single kingdom period. And we find Hezekiah, who for 29 years ruled in Judah. A man who brought the people back to God in a mighty revival. But a revival which was short-lived, because his son Manasseh, who reigned for something like 55 years,
turned the people back from following the true God.
And we read in 2 Chronicles a brief outline of what he did.
This is King Manasseh following good King Hezekiah.
For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father, chapter 33 and verse 3, had broken down, and he reared up altars of Balaam, and made idols, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, "Shall my name be forever?" And he built altars of all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hemon. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and practiced sorcery, and dealt with a medium, and with wizards. And he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever." So following a good Hezekiah, one had 55 years of a wicked Manasseh. And then a bad father was followed by another bad son. And we found King Amon came along, who lived only for 2 years, but followed in all the evil ways of his father. We read of him that his servants conspired and murdered him. And so we see the setting of a people who had turned away completely from God. People who had been led by Hezekiah back to the true form of worship. And yet some 55 or 57 years later, they are found completely away from the worship of the true God. And into this scene, God has his man, a young Josiah, prepared to lead his people back to the things of God. God will always have his man for the occasion. God will always have his man for the crisis. Maybe difficult to discover, maybe slow to appreciate, but God has gone before, and God has prepared, and God has made a way, and God will have his man. I don't know if you read in your local paper just a few days ago, but Sir David McNee, the chief constable of London, was asking for greater powers for the police. Now, I have many claims to fame, probably, and people I come in contact with, and this is one of them. David McNee was a young constable in the city of Glasgow when I was courting my wife. And my wife was a bridesmaid at his wedding. That's a great claim to fame, isn't it? But Sir David McNee is an outstanding Christian, committed Christian. And when he became chief constable of Glasgow, Sir James Robertson, who was the previous chief constable, said to him, "David, God has his man for every position, and you're his man for this job that I'm vacating." Yes, and in this history of Judah, God had his man prepared. A young Josiah came to the throne at the tender age of 8. He reigned for something like 31 years. If you'd like to make a backbone, or a skeleton as it were, of his life and ministry, or an outline, you can find it in these verses here. At 8 years he became king, 2 Chronicles 34 and 1. At 16 years he began to seek the Lord, 2 Chronicles 34 and 3. At 20 years he began to purge Judah and all Jerusalem of idols, again 2 Chronicles 34 and 3. And at 26 years, he began to repair the temple. Do you wonder how a bad father, Amon, and a bad grandfather, Manasseh, ever had a good son or a grandson like Josiah? Well, the reason is that he had a good mother, a godly mother. Because you find recorded in 2 Kings in chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, and his mother's name was Jedidah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Are you not reminded, of course, of 2 Timothy, when Paul writes to Timothy? He first acknowledges that he had, firstly, a godly grandmother, and also a godly mother. And may I say this afternoon, that the role of the Christian mother in praying for families is as important today as it was in Josiah's time. Because I suggest to you that if Josiah had not a praying, godly mother, he would never have come to the position he did in leading the people of Judah back to the things of God.
We hear so much these days about how to bring up children. And I say this in fear and trepidation because I don't have the answer. And preachers seem to have glib words of saying this bad fathers or bad mothers. But take courage in this, Christian mothers. Pray and keep praying because God is faithful. God is faithful. May we pray on. Yet young Josiah had a good mother and a bad father. God prepared him for Judah's last revival. Last revival, last murmurings or movements of spirituality before they were taken into prison. Now, I wonder if there's any young men or women here this afternoon whose heart God is preparing to be the young Josiahs of today, to be the witnesses for Christ in the world in which we stand, to stand firm and to stand faithful in these difficult times. Look at the progress here. No instant sanctification about it. No instant revival. We're in a day when everybody has an instant remedy for everything. You just take a little of this and you're okay. Or if you do a certain thing in relation to the Word of God, you'll be lifted to a great feeling of spiritual security and power. Scripture doesn't teach that. And even in the preparation for this mighty revival which swept Judah, it was slow and progressive and hard work. First, sin had to be dealt with. Look at 2 Chronicles 34 and 3-7. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God. There's his personal relationship to the living God. He began to seek as a young man of 16. And after that, in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. The first thing that had to be dealt with there was the sin of the people and the idol worship. Before there can be any blessing or any power, sin has got to be dealt with. Is there not here an echo of Romans chapter 6? When the Apostle Paul says, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." In that beginning of that 6th chapter, he is laying it quite seriously on the line that there's got to be a decision in the heart and the mind. An attitude towards sin and against sin has got to be formed. And so Josiah, as he prepares for his mighty work of revival under God, deals with the sin and deals with the idols. And he goes round and he destroys them and he pulls them down, the idol worship. But not only was his work destructive, as it were, in pulling down, but constructive. Before we can build, we must clear the site. Look at 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 8. "Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azor, and Manasseh, the governor of the city, to repair the house of the Lord." A happy period of reconstruction commences here. They work together happily and honestly. In 2 Kings 22 and 7, you find that they didn't even bother to count the money. No balance sheets. No accountants. No auditors. What a joy to work in that sort of relationship. They were working honestly for God and sincerely for God. And then they were rebuilding. Now it is quite clear by this time that the Reformation had started. Sin had been dealt with. And the temple was going to be rebuilt. But it needed to be deeper than that. Much deeper. Not just the exteriors. We read these precious verses in verse 15. "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." When they were rebuilding the temple, when they were clearing it out, they found the book that had been lost. And from that point in time, the work of the revival was deep and real because it formed the central part of all the work of God through Josiah. And if I read here that the book was found, it presupposes, of course, that the book had been lost. And the book had been closed. And the book had been unheeded for years. Was it lost in Manasseh's time? Or Amon's time? But may I ask you quite humbly this afternoon, has the Word of God been lost to you? I remember some years ago I had to be the study leader at a young marriage camp down in Melbourne. I don't think the Melbourne people are any different to the Queenslanders, only they're not quite as brown. And at that young marriage camp in the evening, we had a discussion. And they were full of questions. But one thing we soon discovered, and discovered it quietly, people who were in the assemblies, in the churches, they weren't reading their Bible. They weren't reading their Bible. Their Bible had ceased to be a day-to-day attendance or reading or manner. You could say of them quite simply that they had lost their book. Lost their book. Oh, nice people. Lovely people. But if we are going to count for God in this day and generation, and if we're going to move for God in this day and generation, you need more than nice people. You need people who have a rediscovery, as it were, of the Word of God in sincerity. But look at 2 Chronicles 34 and 15. The book was found, rediscovered, as it were. Oh, what we might rediscover, that we might rediscover the Word of God, so that we may be clever, so that we may be knowledgeable. No, what did David say in the 119th Psalm? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What God wants us to be is not clever with the Word of God, but let the Word of God so grip us and so control us that he will build a holy people for himself. That's the outpouring of the Word of God, an attention to the Word of God. Some days ago I spoke to a lady who had been 40 years in the assemblies, down in Glen Waverley Assembly. We are going through the Minor Prophets in systematic study. She came to me and she said, I've been 40 years in the assemblies, and I don't know anything about the Minor Prophets. Now, I don't blame the dear lady, but I blame the whole idea of Bible teaching in our churches today that have left out whole portions of the Word of God. Left them. And the people of God are untaught in the things of God. And if there's ever a portion of the Word of God that should mean something to us in this day and age in which we live, it's the Minor Prophets. Because they lived in a day of rebellion, and a day of materialism, and a day of turning away from God, very similar to what we're in today. We want to make them something for our own heart. 40 years, she had never heard anything about the Minor Prophets. Oh, that we may rediscover the Word of God in all its fullness. Do you remember what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse 3? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. You know, some of us in our Bible studies, we get into that sort of field and we nibble at the edges. We do. We nibble at the edges. There's all the pastor extending all the way through. We never go near there. We can quote our favorite verse in our favorite chapter. But oh, God wants us to go in and possess this word in all its fullness and all its strength so that we may rediscover the teaching and the power of the Word of God for this day and generation. Nibblers. That's what we are. We nibble at our favorite verse. God says, go in, possess, possess, eat it, enjoy it, thrill to it, and let the Word of God dwell richly in your heart. Oh yes, the book had been lost. The book was found. But thirdly and more importantly, the book was read in verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the Lord that he tore his clothes. Look at the effect it had. Josiah would have received the instruction that's given in Revelation, does he not? Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth. That was his attitude when he heard the word of God read. Has the word of God got an effect upon my life? An effect upon your life like that? That the reading of the Word of God, that you give yourself to it and you obey it and you take it for yourself and you say, God's speaking to me through this Word. But you know, we're indebted to this prophetess here in the 22nd verse, Huldah, who gives us a picture of the heart and the character of Josiah. Because we learn from that he was a tender-hearted man and a humble man and a man who carried a burden and wept. And that's the type of man where the Word of God can find a lodgment. And I say that what we need to do in our churches today, more than ever before, is not try new methods or new ideas or new things, but to have an honest, fresh rediscovery of the Word of God. You know, the church goes forward by going back, and that's not as Irish as it sounds. Every time the church has been revived and gone forward, you can trace it went back to the Word of God. And if there's to be blessing, and if there's to be building, and if there's to be maturing, we've got to go back to the unadulterated Word of God and appreciate it and enjoy it and thrill to it. But look at the character of this man, Josiah. Firstly, I suggest to you, and this is the most important, and it's something that we must come to grips with in our own hearts and lives. He was honest. And when he heard that word read in his ears, he responded to it. He assessed it. He made an honest assessment and appraisal of his own position and the position of his people. And that's the number one requirement for us, beloved, if we're going to know the power of God's word in our life. Requirement for an honest appraisal of our position. Point one. Point two, I read that he was tender-hearted in verse 27, because thine heart was tender. Tender-hearted men. That's what we need today. Men and women who have got tender hearts. Hearts that are motivated by the word of God. Because legality and love cannot walk the same path. For previous king, a good king of Judah, Amaziah, it was said that he walked in the will of God, but not with a perfect heart. There was something missing. Josiah had a tender heart. And thirdly, he was humble, because thou didst humble thyself, and twice it's repeated in that verse, and humblest thyself before me. Is our great danger perhaps spiritual pride, one of the greatest stumbling blocks to blessing? The whole of the minor prophets cry out with that general message of a people who were privileged, the people who were found to be in great position. Yet because of pride, they had exalted the externals and the ritual and shut out God himself. And they had a completely false concept of God. If you turn to Micah, you find these pertinent words there in this controversy as they have in chapter 6 of the prophecy of Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord? This is the people saying, and bow down myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with the 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You see, here's the people of God, the privileged people of God. And they're saying, what will we do? Is it offerings and sacrifices and ritual? Is that what God wants? They got so far away. Amos says very clearly, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God? And these terms are still the same today. Nothing can alter them. But fourthly, and finally, Josiah had a burden. He wept. The word of the God had found profound effect upon him. He was a doer of the word of God. He wept with a burden. May I suggest to you quite simply that today as never before we need to rediscover the word of God in all its fullness. Or is the book lost to you? You can rediscover it. Have you read it and allowed it to challenge and control and to change your life? There's no easy way to spiritual renewal or revival except by an honest and humble, tender-hearted approach to the Word of God. May we in this day and generation be like Josiah of old. And indeed, what we were in the early days in the assemblies, people who were loyal to the Word of God. The whole assembly movement was built up by the systematic teaching of the Scriptures. Oh, that we could get back to that. For in so doing, Christ will have the preeminence and be exalted both in our own hearts and lives and in our local churches. Have you rediscovered the Word of God? Or is it lost to you? And grown cold, maybe through familiarity, you've left it. Not to just rediscover it, but to read it. And let that word of God so control you. that you're motivated to honour him and stand firm for God. Because in people like that, God will bring blessing and God will bring power. Yes, it was Judah's last chance. And though Josiah effected that revival through the rediscovery of the Word of God, it was short-lived. The people went back into their old ways so quickly. May we not be guilty of that. But may we be a people who have put the Word of God first with a freshness. For his name's sake.